Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have. Guide us by your mighty spirit, we ask. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Sorotulako.
This morning, I want to share with you on one of the foundations for a mega church. And church growth. And church planting. Amen.
Amina.
Now, the vision of God is that we should have church growth. Amen.
Amina.
And we should have church planting. Can I have these books, three books, please? Thank you. This is the vision of God. And it is in our interest to put our hearts on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when your heart is not on the vision of God, you are not able to accomplish what God has for you. Amen.
Amina.
Everybody say the visions of God. Ezekiel chapter 40,
Ezekiel sura 14
and verse 4. It says, I'll let Dr. Ogo read it.
Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 4. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And
amen.
Edoboozi ne lingamba nti nno omwana w'omuntu tunuulira ebyolaba era teeka amatu go kw'ebyo bye nkugamba era obyatule eri abantu.
So God is saying,
kati Mukama agamba,
set your heart on all that I show you. Set your heart on it. Can you lower his volume a little on the stage? All right. Set your heart on all that I show you. So, you never accomplish things you don't set your heart on. Ezekiel chapter 40 verse 4. And the man said to me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, hear with thine ears, set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. Amen.
Amina.
Set your heart on all that I show you. Set your heart on all that I show you. So that is why we have conferences, books, churches, visions, dreams, but we don't set our heart on it. So we never experience it. Amen.
Amina.
But God wants us to set our hearts on all that He is showing us. What is He showing us? We can plant many churches. Amen.
Amina.
Amen.
Amina.
We can have a mega church. Our churches can grow. Amen.
Amen.
I started a church in 1987-88 in a classroom.
mukibiina kyebasomeramu.
In a classroom of a school called the School of Hygiene. The School of Hygiene had maybe about 20 classrooms. And we started in one of these classrooms. Now, after some time, the church grew. And there was a corridor upstairs, and we were able to move from the classroom upstairs into the corridor. That's church growth. Then after some time, there was a cafeteria, a canteen, that was used to feed medical students. And our church, little church, which had started in the classroom, and has been promoted to a corridor, was now promoted to the cafeteria. But the cafeteria was too big. So there were two things we did. I'm sharing with you so that you'll be encouraged. God is going to do that with you as well. Amen.
Amina.
There was a partition in the hall, and we made curtains so that we could divide the hall into two parts. And the church now was, the cafeteria was now divided into two. So we were in half or about two-thirds. But even in the two-thirds, we were so few that we decided, we felt that people who see us would laugh at us. So we decided to make curtains on the left side and the right side so that people who are walking outside cannot see to laugh at us. Church growth. This book is called Church Growth. It is possible. Yes. Then the church grew, and one day we decided to remove the curtains that had divided the hall into two. Hallelujah. And then, from there, we became under pressure to move because we were in the middle of the hospital making a lot of noise. And the hospital has a sign, no hooting, no noise, quiet hospital. So we found an old cinema hall.
Katatene tusanga a hall in Dalia cinema. Bali balagira film
that had no roof.
And
that they had stopped showing films in.
Ngabali balekeda ukulagira mu film.
Sitting next to a big rubbish dump. The rubbish dump was three floors high. Do you have such rubbish dumps in Uganda?
Huh?
Sometimes I wonder whether the African heads of state have gathered and decided to do certain things in the countries. Whether there has been a meeting. Anyway. So we were given the opportunity to buy this building. And they asked us for the equivalent of $100,000. I immediately called our accountant, who was a student in accounting school.
Era ne kubere era tubalire ebitabo ngati yali muyizi mu somerere eliyo kubale ebitabo.
Do we have money?
Tituina sente kwa account.
And he checked.
Tukebera.
Came back and told me we have $700.
Nagamba tituina obola lusanvu zokka.
That is the savings of the church.
Hey.
And almost every single member in the church was a student. So we had to now find $100,000. Which was 35 million Ghana cedis in our currency. So it was originally 37.5 million cedis, and I negotiated with the Lebanese man who was selling to
35 million.
He agreed that we should pay over 2 years. So we started 2013. We did everything that can be done. I contacted every rich person I knew. Wrote letters to every important person that I knew. We did a raffle. We did afternoon where you go horse riding, jumping. What is it called? I forget the name. Fanfare. Something
we
got
like
nothing. Nobody was prepared
to
give us anything. But gradually, then the Lord led me to go and start a branch. In the midst of all this, I started two branches. One in Ghana, one in Geneva. Gradually, we were able to gather money, not from the raffle, not from important people, not from rich people, but our small offerings, and we were able to pay the first installment. Nobody, no man, no church, no human being gave us a big amount of money. And after the 1.5, 18 months, we were able to pay fully for the building. And gradually we continue to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That one church has grown, and today there are many churches like that. Because we started planting more churches in different countries. Today we have planted churches in 90 different countries. Hallelujah, including Uganda. Hallelujah. I'm going to Gulu. We have a church in Gulu. Yes. So I am explaining to you that you do not need to end your ministry with one church. Amen. That's not the end of you. That is not the end of you. There is more.
What way we seeing?
There is more.
What shall we mean?
You see, when you see today, this modern women, they give birth to only 2 children. Just 2 children. 3. There is more in them. But they are not bringing it out. There's more potential. It's possible. I mean, many of the people who have given birth to only two children, they could have had 10. They could have had 12. 14. Every year you have a child. Every year you have a child. It is possible. At least. John Wesley, his mother had at least 10 or 14 children or 15 children. Yeah. Some of them died, but a lot of them lived. So even our women and our wives, they have a greater potential. And that is how many of us as pastors are. You have a greater potential than this one that you have given
them.
You could have done more. Yes. Could have done more. So you must believe. That you must believe. You see, and God has not called pastors to be on spiritual contraception. Yes. You are on spiritual contraception. You are using spiritual condoms. You have tied your spiritual tubes. And you are giving birth to only one or two. You could have done more than you are doing. Yes.
Amina.
Yes. So arise and shine. I said arise and shine. Remove those condoms from there and start bearing fruit. Yes.
Amen.
Say we are changing. We are changing. You see, a condom is preventing the seeds from coming into genuine contact with where will bring forth the fruit. I have come to stand here with genuine seeds. Seeds that are coming into your soul. Don't block the seeds. Don't say, oh, this is from Ghana. This is a foreign something. Open your heart. Remove the condom and let the thing come inside. You see what will happen. Something wonderful will happen in your ministry. Something wonderful will happen in your ministry. Yes. Something wonderful will happen in your ministry. It's possible. I said it is possible. It is possible. Don't say you are poor. You know, God has called us as ministers. And has given us a way of income.
At what the
of having income. You know, this is the only book. It's called Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor. And how tithing Christians can become rich. You see, when we did fundraising with the raffle, you know what is a raffle? Later I came to apologize. Raffle. Like Lotto. Later, I came to stand in front of the church and apologize for doing that raffle. You see, God has showed us a way to have the money that you need for the work of God. This is the only book that I had a dream or a vision God told me to write this book, I would never have written this book. If you take tithing,
and
offering, taking seriously, the income of your ministry will change. And you will have enough money for whatever God has called you to do. And if God cannot provide the money, then it is not necessary to do it. I don't believe in debt. As a ministry, we don't owe anybody. We don't have any loan. It's against our believe to borrow money. We don't borrow from the bank. We don't owe anybody. If we have money, we build. If we don't have, we stop. That's all. There's no borrowing. Yes. That's he that borrows is under a curse. The Bible says, I will bless you, you shall lend, and you shall not borrow. So the blessing is to lend, and the curse is to be borrowing. That is why almost every nation, is struggling today. Almost every, I don't know any country which is not struggling
financially.
Because they have borrowed so much money and are living beyond their means and are doing things they are not supposed to do. And so there is so much tightness,
difficulty.
This is the key. Tithing and offering. Read this book. Buy one of this book for every member of your congregation and read it to them scripture by scripture. Anything that is not scripture, throw it away, and God will give you the increase for your ministry and for the finances. Now, amen. I need my book on the art of leadership.
All
right. Now, in this book, you see a very wonderful chapter in this book. Dr. Go, just find this chapter for me. If you are a leader, build something. I just want to show the people in that chapter. If you are a leader, build something. He's going to find it. I want to know the exact chapter. Now, you see, if you are a pastor of a church, you must build a church building. Unless there is a building already. We are not called to build many things. Chapter 65 of this book.
Chapter 65. Sura yin kaga mutano.
Yeah. Chapter 64 here. Build something.
Bako chozimba.
If you are a leader, build something.
Obodi mkulembeze bako chozimba.
Build something.
Bako chozimba.
The lack of a building reveals the lack of your leadership. It reveals the lack of many things. You know, when you go to America, England, the first thing you notice are the buildings. They build something. When you come to Africa, you see there's no road, there's no building, there is no school built. No, so many things. So the presence of the buildings shows you, wow, some great leaders are here. Yeah.
Yes.
Chitufa.
So when you build,
Bozimba,
it shows your wisdom.
Chidagamba gesigo.
Solomon was wise.
Suleiman yali musajja mugezi.
You see, wisdom, building reveals your wisdom and shows that you can see far.
Okusimba kulaga amagezi go era kiragana to so kulabira wala.
Look at the Catholic Church.
Tunulira ekanisa ya Katoliki.
Anglican Church.
The Anglican Church.
Orthodox churches.
The Church of Orthodox.
Some of you here despise the Catholic Church.
Bachi kumwe munyo omole kanisa ya Katoliki.
Yes.
Kitufu.
Some of you feel that they are not Christians. Some of you despise Anglicans. Despise Methodists. But they have their buildings. And they are present. Some of you feel that they don't have anointing. But anointing or no anointing, they are present. You can't remove them. They are very powerful still. And many, many, many of them are having revival. You see, the popes, they went through what is called the Dark Ages. Yes. When they went through that season, a pope was chosen by different means, by financial power, family, different things.
Papa yalonde wa okusinziira ku busobozi bw'amaanyi gayina mu byenfuna oba n'amaka gy'avira.
They went through many difficult times.
Baayita mu biseera ebizibu bingi nnyo.
And some of the popes were more wicked than the terrorists that we have today.
But
you see, their buildings, it makes them still to be here. And revivals have taken place after even 1,000 years. You see that there have been revivals and a lot of them are still revived.
Yes.
I read recently that there were over 100 million Catholic Holy Spirit, I thought they called them charismatic Holy Spirit, over 100 million of them.
Yes.
Now look at you. Your church is just 16 years old. 9 years old. You have not even survived to be 100 years old. Will your church be there? In 40 years. Many churches will not even exist. I can mention the names of churches I know that do not exist today. People started the churches, they don't exist. There's a church, it's called ICF. I will not tell you which country it is. I attended the church, it does not exist. Many, 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 many churches. Yes. But if the building was there, you see that even though the people have fallen and are backslidden, the church, Jesus said, I have called you that you may go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. If you are a leader, build something. Build something. I need to see your church building. Buy land and put a structure there. And finish the building to the glory of God. And then build another one. Right now, as I'm speaking, I'm not from Uganda. But we are building a church in Entebbe. Right now, they are doing the construction in other parts of Uganda. Yes. They are on it. Where is yours? Not from raffle. Not from lotto. Not from rich people. From tithes and offerings. Trust God. God will do it. That's the power. You see, this is the power He has given us. This is the power he has given to the church. He has showed us how and where, but people don't believe in it. That's why a lot of pastors are businessmen.
Business.
I thank God I don't do business. There's no business. I don't have a fishing trawler, boat. I don't have a farm. I don't have investment. I don't have anything. Only the church I'm doing.
Yes.
I don't do politics.
No.
Not at all. And our church has no investments.
We are
only doing church work.
Yes.
Wow. So, you see, either you believe the word or you don't believe it. I don't know. What I'm saying is from the Bible. Even if you don't like it, it's still from the Bible. So if you want to be angry, be angry with the Bible. But leave me out of your anger. I haven't done anything against you.
Thank you, sir.
Building shows your frugality. Frugality. How you are able to save. Yes. People who don't build, many times they have money for other things.
Hey.
You can go in Africa and see a lot of big cars. And the pastor has got the biggest car in the world. And he's meeting in a tent. But the car could buy a church building.
Yes.
The whole car can only buy a church building. It's a moving church building. He drives the church building. And there's no church building, but he's driving the church building. Hey! Do you have such things in Uganda? Are you sure you have such things in Uganda? Hey! He does what? He washes the church building. Shines his church building. Now, another thing that your building shows is that you are practical. Yeah, I don't want to use a big word, but practical or pragmatic. When you are theoretical and ethereal and always just in imagining things in the sky, you cannot build. You have to roll up your sleeves. Practically, do the work yourself. Yes. You know, I don't like when pastors, you are not a big man, but you want to force yourself to be big. Yes. Many pastors should be carrying blocks on the building site.
Yes.
Carry the blocks and mix the mortar and zinc. I can show you pictures of myself. Where I am building myself practically. Climbing structures, following workers, forcing to build.
Yes.
And I have so many building projects.
Why
are you forcing yourself to be big? Making things difficult. You don't need a contractor. One day I sent a message to one of my pastors, paint your church.
Paint the church.
And he went and got an invoice from a contractor on how much it is to
paint the church for a painting contract. Immediately I said, this man is not practical. Painting contract with an invoice. You mean you don't know where they are selling paint? You don't know where they are selling paint. You can't go to the place and buy paint. You can't buy paint brush. You don't know how to mix it. There's nobody in the church who can hold a brush and be painted. What is wrong with you? That's why you are not rich. That's why you cannot build. Everything is, you don't understand anything practical. Please. If you see, you read this book, Art of Leadership, you will be surprised. Every day, read a small part. You will be surprised. You see, if you are a leader, chapter 64, build something and show us that, yes, I am a leader. Don't say, I am the man of God of the city. I am the pompous pope of the town. I am the this and I am that. Build something. Just build something. So, set your heart on the visions of God. Church building, church planting, church growth, mega church. It is possible. You know, I feel that somebody like me, if God has been able to use somebody like me, He should be able to use somebody like you. I feel that if God has been able to use somebody like me, He should be able to use somebody like you. I was born without gifts.
Yes.
I was born without gifts. Some of you were born with gifts.
Yes.
I was born without gifts. God, help me to build His church. So remember, you are blessed.
God,
Ezekiel chapter 40 verse 4.
Ezekiel,
Set your heart on the vision. Read, study, get knowledge. God will bless you. Now, loyalty and disloyalty
is
very important if you are going to build God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you need faithfulness to your calling. Some of you here, God is not happy with you because you are not faithful to what He called you to do. He will soon be calling you and because you are not faithful to what He has asked you to do. You see, when God gives you a calling, it never changes. It never changes. And you have to constantly come back to the call of God. To the original calling. The original calling. What did He ask you to do? What did He say you should do? What's the original calling? Remember that original calling. The Bible says the gifts and calling are without any form of repentance or change. He only adds to the calling. He only adds on. The calling is the same.
So if I was called to be an apostle,
it's
still there. Even if he adds on something,
and
gives me a new gift,
and
gives me something else to do,
the
original calling
is
without repentance. All callings are without repentance. Yes. You see, the presence of God is always three things. It's like the presence of a person. The presence of God. It involves, number one, the reality of the presence of the person. And that is something, even when there is somebody in a room and you can't see, you can sometimes know that there is somebody here. Sometimes you go to a place and say, the house feels empty.
Yes.
Sometimes when somebody dies,
even
in a faraway country, you can feel the effect of the person not being physically in the world.
It's
called the aura of the person's existence.
Number
two, it involves the voice of a person. So the presence of God involves his voice. When you are out of my presence, you see, like the people on the car park, they cannot hear my voice. So when the presence of God has departed from you, Ikabod, you don't hear his voice.
And
you don't sense that he's present. The third thing is his gifts. You see, if I'm here in your life and I have maybe some money or some gifts or maybe some books, I may give to you, you see that I'm giving you my gifts. My things. Now many pastors have lost the presence of God.
People
don't understand it. What have you lost? You have lost the existence, the aura of his existence. And you have lost his voice. But his gift is still working. Because he never takes the gift away, even if he goes away. Even you, when you give, if I give you a handbag, or I give you a gift, and you are angry with me, you go away from me, you still take my gift. But I'm no more in your life. You don't hear me talking to you. I have a certain rebellious pastor. When he was getting married, I gave him a gift. He even didn't know the value of the gift I gave him. So I told him, this is I bought for you, this is the price. And then he said, oh wow. Then he went to look at it again. Some years later, he left the ministry and became a rebel. I am no longer in his life. I don't go to his house. He has asked me, wanted me to come to the new church he started. I said, I will never come. And number two, he doesn't hear my voice. He doesn't listen to. I will not even say anything to him. So he has lost my presence and he has lost my voice. But my gift that I gave him when he got married is with him. It's still with him. So many pastors are having still the gift, but God has left them. Yes. Yes. So that is why he said that, and Samson wist not that the Lord had departed
from
him. But when his hair grew, the gift was still available. The gift of strength. Yes. The gift of strength. The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
But
David still will not touch him. He says he's the Lord's anointed.
So
many people have something is gone, but something still seems to be there. Something is gone, but something is there.
Yeah.
So it's the presence is gone. You still seem to have some of the gift. So that is why it is dangerous to assume that God is with you because you are still preaching. It's dangerous to assume that God is still with you because there are still miracles. So when you are not sensitive, you realize that you have lost his voice and the aura of his existence and his presence. Are you still here? Yes. Are you wondering whether the presence of God has departed from you? Now, faithfulness. Why loyalty? Where is my book? Why loyalty is important? Why is loyalty important? Number one, why loyalty is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Loyalty is a requirement for a minister. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards.
It is required in stewards
that a man be found faithful.
Wow.
It is a requirement. That's all that God wants from you. That a man should be found what?
Faithful.
A faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. This is what God, all God wants.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be faithful? 1 Corinthians 4:2. It means to be loyal. If you check the synonyms for faithful, it's loyal.
It
means you are the same. You are the same. It means you didn't change. Loyal. You don't change. Then it means constant. You are always the same.
It
means you are just there.
Faithful.
And this is the main thing that God wants. You know, because we change so much. Yes. You know, if you read the history of the popes, if you come to, one day, if you are able to come to Ghana, museum, you see some of the popes.
History.
It's all part of the church. They say that Peter was the first pope. Let us, if we accept it, then how is the current pope compared with, or even the other popes, compared with Peter as the first pope? You see, the change. Peter was into miracles. Peter was preaching the gospel. 3,000 people were being saved when Peter was preaching. Peter was a shepherd feeding the sheep. Yes. So you see, we just change. We just change. Without effort. Our message has changed. Today, most pastors are preaching. We can't even know what we are preaching about. Either you are a bank manager who is preaching about
banking.
You don't know that.
Whether you are a finance or investment consultant, whether you are a motivational speaker, motivating people, who called you to motivate? Go into all the world and motivate the world. You are a politician. You can't even understand your message. You know, so that is why God says that the requirement of a pastor,
a steward,
whatever type of steward, is faithful. You hear at the end of your life, well done, good and faithful. Half of all your marks come from your faithfulness. Half of all your marks come from your faithfulness.
Half
of all your marks come from your faithfulness. Yes. Half of all your marks. In the final analysis. Half of all your marks. Come from your faith, your constantness. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. People don't even know how to preach the gospel. Where's my book, How to Preach Salvation? How you can preach salvation. This book is about preaching salvation. Most pastors cannot preach salvation. But we can preach prosperity. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in
health.
Hey, we know you can preach 1 John 3 verse 2, but you cannot preach John
3:16.
Mercy. That is why so large areas of Africa are falling to other religions. Large sections. Large, I don't know about Uganda, but many places are falling to other religions. Yes, they are not preaching gospel. Pastor will not go to certain towns. Only Kampala.
Kampala yo kachibuge chikuru.
Only Lagos.
Obalekosi.
Only Kigali.
Obachigali.
Only Nairobi.
Obanairobi yo
kachibuge. Only Johannesburg.
Obachohannesburg.
Only Accra.
Obamu Accra mo kamwe babere yo.
When you throw away sacrifice, the church degenerates very quickly. When you throw away sacrifice, the church degenerates very quickly. The nature of the church changes. The nature of the church changes when you throw away sacrifice. This book is about sacrifice. Losing, suffering. Today we have Winners Chapel, but we also need Losing Chapel. Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will gain it. So we also need Losers Chapel. We don't have suffering. But the Bible says, you are called to suffer, not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer. Bible.
Bible.
Philippians, check the verse for me. Philippians
1:27.
You are called not only to believe, but you are called to suffer. Sacrifice. For unto you, Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him.
Also.
Also,
it's a calling. It's a calling. So I'm called to be an apostle. You are also called to suffer. I'm called to be a pastor. You are also called to suffer. I'm called to be an evangelist. You are also called to suffer. Suffering is part of our theology. Suffering is part of Christianity.
Hey.
That's why
Jovanga,
pastors today,
Abasumbalero,
we are only starting churches in Lusaka,
Johannesburg,
Germany, America.
America.
Hey, African pastors, we can really go. We can really go to America and Europe. Missions. One day a pastor was preaching and he began to prophesy and he said, you are going to be my pastor in Memphis, Tennessee.
And
she lifted her hand and shouted, hallelujah.
Then
if not another pastor, you are going to be my pastor in my apostolic ministry in London, UK.
London.
The pastor lifted up his hand and said, I receive it. Then he pointed to another pastor and said, you are going to be my pastor in Frankfurt, Germany. He lifted
up
his hand and said, I receive it. Then he pointed to another pastor and said, you are going to be my pastor in Burkina Faso. And the pastor said, I refuse it in the name of Jesus. I curse it, I reject it now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I bind it, I block it. I block it. I block it. I cancel it. Burkina Faso, no way in the name of Jesus. Immediately he says, Satan, I refuse. You see, that is why. That is why we have left many things to other religions. They don't mind. They are not prosperity conscious as we are. They will go anywhere. Whenever we have crusades, oh, nobody comes here. Everybody goes to the capital city. We thank you for coming here. I feel sad. I feel sad when I hear that. We rather have to go all to every corner and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So don't forget this book. Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing and dying for Jesus.
Christ Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready to die for Jesus? Are you ready to die for Jesus? Yes.
Amen.
People are ready to die for every other reason. But for Jesus? No. So loyalty is required. God wants us to be faithful to his calling. And we also need to be faithful in our churches. To our pastors. When you stay in the ministry, you always like a faithful person. When I was younger, in the ministry, when I see somebody who can sing, I say, this, I like this pastor. Because when he's preaching, in the middle of the preaching,
he'll
start singing. I said, this is powerful. I used to like pastors who could really talk to the people.
He's
a good man. He's very powerful. I like pastors who have power.
Hey!
But after some time, I saw that no. The quality I should look for
is
not if you can sing
or
if you are powerful, but if you are faithful. When you have one unfaithful pastor, one unfaithful person, you only look for faithful people. Watch out for people who can leave you suddenly. Yes. Can leave you suddenly. Those who leave you. Yes. Those who leave you. One day I sent a pastor somewhere. And as he was on the mission field,
his
mind began to change. And he became quiet. When you call him, he doesn't answer. Watch out for people who don't communicate. They are the dangerous people. People who don't communicate. They don't say anything about anything.
Hey.
Suddenly, he left the ministry.
Yes.
He left. And caused a big problem.
And
it started when he became quiet.
Yeah.
So communication. Very important for everybody in the ministry. Watch out for those who leave you. You need somebody who will never leave you. How many want to marry somebody who will never leave you? Anyway, number two. To fight the fifth column. The devil is fighting the church, but he's not fighting the church from outside. He's fighting from inside. The fifth column is the people inside. Amen.
Amen.
Now, all wars are won by the fifth column. Amen.
Amen.
What is the fifth column? There was a certain commander who was attacking a city. And he had five battalions. And a young man asked him, how are you going to overcome this
city?
And he said, I am going to overcome with the fifth column. So he said, what is the fifth column? Because we can see only four columns.
He
said, the fifth column are my people inside. My people who are inside. So when Satan is fighting you, he's going to fight you with the people that are inside your church. He's going to fight you through the people that are in the pastoral team. Don't worry about outsiders. It's a small problem. It's those inside. You know, when I started in the ministry, I had a pastor who was inside. The church could not work. They were criticizing me every day. I was even afraid. I became weak. Yes, because accusations make you weak. I couldn't preach well. I couldn't minister. Every Saturday I was afraid because of Sunday, what that was.
Yes.
You know, I started to have diarrhea every Saturday. I thought I was just having diarrhea. But later I found out that it is from anxiety. I never knew that anxiety can give diarrhea. It is a pastor who gave me diarrhea. Yes. Because he was meeting with the members in the church and he was discussing me with the people. They used to discuss me. Number one, they said, number one, that I'm not called. God hasn't called me. I'm forcing myself. Number two, they said, I don't know how to preach. So they would be discussing. I don't know how to preach. So when they come on Sunday, they will be sitting there, they are all watching. You see the man who doesn't know how to preach. About to preach, but he doesn't know how to preach. Number three, they said, I use too many scriptures. Another time they said, I don't use enough scriptures. And the greatest was that they said that when I'm preaching, I drink water. I don't have to drink water when I'm preaching. And that there is a certain girl who comes to give me the water. Why am I doing that? But the reason why I was drinking water is because when I see their faces, my saliva gets finished. My saliva gets finished. I can't preach again. And my tongue is stuck. So I need water. The more I see their faces, the more that my saliva gets finished. The more I drink, and the more they criticize. Hey! So the church was very small. And the church couldn't grow. We were in the classroom. But when Satan wants to take you on, he will take you on in the inside. Yes. You know, you see, you don't know what is happening. Yeah. Satan can finish you through the people in
Jesus.
One day I saw a pastor, he said that witches are attacking his church.
I said,
don't worry about witches. Which is nothing. The real wizards are those sitting on the front row
and
those on the second row. Those are not witches. Yes.
Don't
worry about that. What is going to destroy your church? It's inside. The fifth column. Yes. Yes. One day, I met a pastor. from South Africa.
From South Africa.
And he told me a story.
When
he was telling me the story, I was feeling. He said, look, my wife and I went for holiday
in America.
He said, I had a church with 3,000 members.
3,000.
So I went for holiday.
And
I think they stayed along. So he came back after 6 weeks. And he left the church with the assistant. When he came back, the assistant told him immediately when he, I think the same day when he came, the assistant said, God has asked me to leave. You are welcome back. God has asked me to leave. So he said, and I have to leave now. But I have just come. No. God wants me to leave
now.
He tried to talk to him. He said, no, I leave now. So he left. When he left, the pastor told me, 3,000 members. Everybody left with this man. He was left with 18 people.
18
people, including himself. His wife, his children, that becomes
18.
The man took everybody.
But
6 weeks that he left him in the church, he took the whole church. Yes, the fifth column. Yes. He died, but he died 6 months later. Zechariah 5 verse 3.
Zechariah,
he says, this is the curse that shall enter the house of a thief. Anyone who steals, you see, a thief is not only a thief of money, but a thief of a church, thief of members, thief of sheep, thief of character. Read it.
Zechariah 5 verse 3.
Zechariah 5:3.
Then said he unto me,
Nangamba,
this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. It will enter the house of the thief. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of the house. And shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So be careful, those of you who are fifth column. Some of you have spoiled people's churches. Me, I will advise you, go back to the church that you destroyed, that you left, and go and beg for mercy. Yes. Go and restore. Lest the curse of Zechariah 5 verse 3 and verse 4 comes upon you. Yes. You cannot prosper with somebody. You see, if you come and remove, I'm building my house. You are building a house. You come and remove the blocks from my building and go and use it to build your building. It's a matter of time. Your blocks will also be removed. Maybe even the whole house will be removed.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Number 3.
You must have loyalty so that you can have a large team and a mega church. Amen.
Amen.
How many want to have a large team and a mega church? Yeah. Without loyalty, you cannot have a large team. And you cannot have a mega church. Now, how do disloyal people function? Disloyalty functions basically through accusations. Revelations chapter 12. And so, this is my book, Those Who Accuse You. Very important to understand how disloyalty functions. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10.
It
says, yes.
Revelations 12 verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
And verse 11
and
12.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you. The what?
The devil. The devil has come to you. When the accuser comes, the devil has come. Anybody who is accusing you, the devil has come into your life.
Wow.
Woe to, if you are a pastor and they start accusing you, woe to you, because the devil has come. Woe to you! You see, there are many, the devil has many coats. You too, you have many coats. Is this your only shirt? Is this your only coat? You have how many?
I have six.
Is this your only coat?
No.
The devil also has many coats. Sometimes he wears the coat of a murderer
to kill.
Don't drive fast.
Because
Satan is a murderer. You must always know that Satan wants you to die.
Oh, you know, kuchimanya buri sawa stani ayagala ofe kubaye mutemu.
You must know it. Oh, you know, if I say he was a murderer from the beginning, it's his primary work is to kill. Satan can put on a coat of a deceiver to lie. Also a tempter. Remember when Jesus came into the world, first thing was temptation. Yeah. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's an evil thing to be tempted. Yes. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
It's an evil thing when you are being tempted. He can come as a tempter, a murderer, a liar,
But when he puts on the coat of the accuser, it means that he means business. That's his last card.
That's
his last card. Look at the ministry of Jesus. First, they tried to tempt him. Didn't work. To try to deceive him. He said, oh, do this. If you bow down, give you everything.
Didn't work.
Try as a murderer. He went to preach in Nazareth. Early in his ministry. They rushed on him to push him down. Down the cliff. When you go to Nazareth, you see the cliff. They show the cliff where they believe Jesus was pushed over.
He
just passed through Medra. Then he came as another murderer when he was in the boat.
Careth
thou not that we perish. He was about to drown. Even up to today, in the Sea of Galilee, minimum of 4 to 5 people drown in the Sea of Galilee every year up to today. Sometimes about 15 people can drown in 1 year. It's a very dangerous place. All this was not working. Then Satan said, no. I've had enough of this. So you put on a new coat. Accuser. What does he say? Woe unto woe to the inhabitants. Yeah.
Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you.
Yes.
Woe to you. The devil himself has come. The accuser.
And then they started to accuse Jesus. From Matthew 23. They took him on. Why do you say this? Why do you do this? Why do you do this? And the final accusation was when he was arrested. You say you are God. They say you will break the church. Are you not the ones that you break the temple? The temple that we have built. The temple that we have suffered to build. You say you are going to break it. What do you people say? What do you people say? Look at the man. He says he's going to break the temple. The temple that we value. You become frightened. What are you saying? What are you saying? Me? I was born a church. When I say I will build my church. No. Look at all of you. Is it right for somebody like this to be in our midst? Romans are persecuting us. This man, he's come, he says he's going to break it. That's the end. What do you think? Hey, Lord, Chobai! No. Kill him.
Yes.
The accuser. That's why you become frightened. When the devil tells you are looking for money. You see, you are this. An accuser, you are this. You are in love with this person. You are doing this. You become frightened. It's not true, but you become frightened.
Because
accusation is frightening. You'll be frightened.
Oh,
yeah. There is no pastor at a certain level you will be accused. There is nothing I've not been accused of, including being the devil.
Yes.
Including seeing the devil.
Bangamba tize Satani yenyini.
Yes. Yes. If you see, one day I saw a certain lady pastor, she said to me, I don't like it when people talk about me. I told her, resign. Resign now from being a pastor. Resign now. I said, go out of the pastoral
way.
You don't want people to talk about
it.
This work, that is how it is.
People
talk about you. They accuse you. That's why I wrote a book about accusation. Those who accuse you. And in this book, I have a chapter called The Laws of Accusation. The laws of accusation. Law, the law.
No, yes.
Commandments. One of the laws is that you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you are.
Yes, sir.
You can read it in the book if you're interested. Moses was saving the people of Israel. They said, he has brought us here to kill us. The man who is saving the whole nation, they said he is coming as a killer to kill them. Exact opposite. Exact opposite. Exact opposite. It's one of the law, and you can't believe that it will happen. The day I heard somebody say that I am doing the ministry because of money, I was surprised. I was very surprised. Because I come from a rich family. And I'm a medical doctor.
Hey,
you talk about a doctor. Do you know how much the doctors are earning? I'm not talking about doctors in Uganda. I'm talking about doctors in America. I couldn't believe my ears. Am I the one they are talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are preaching. Accusation. That's how it's. If without accusation, nothing happens. But once the enemy starts, accusation. That's it. It's a high level. It's a high level. It actually means you are at a certain rank.
You are at a certain rank
in ministry. When you have not reached a certain rank, you never hear certain things. Yeah, you never hear certain things. You only read the book and think, oh, wonderful. But you never hear
certain.
A day you enter into a certain realm of ministry, you
will
hear things you can't believe what you are hearing. They told Jesus, you are coming to break the temple. And Jesus is the one who said, I will build my church.
Yes, you got in the
and he was crucified based on that accusation. Yes.
Amen.
It worked. Another law. Your relationship is polluted by accusations. You know, every relationship. Let me just give you some advice. If you value your relationship with somebody, be very careful to believe an accusation. The day you open your mouth and you say, this and this and that. That's the end of that relationship. And especially people who are married, you should be careful what you accuse. Because the moment you open your mouth and accuse
somebody,
from that time your relationship is changed. That's it. It will never be the same again. No matter what. You are chasing somebody. You are sleeping with somebody. This and that. One pastor's wife, she entered her husband's room and said, "You are having an affair 3 a.m. in the night. You are having an affair with somebody." He was stunned. Because he has not slept with anybody.
And
he has not slept with anybody. But the wife stood there in the middle of the
night.
You are having an affair with somebody. That's the end. That's where relationships
end.
Yes. Are you still here or you are leaving? Number three. The most effective accusers are, these are laws of accusation, are those who are closest to you. The person who accuses you that it will work is somebody who is close to you. Psalm 41. Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. My clothes. You ate with me. You drank with me. But the closest person, they are the ones. It's one of the laws of accusation. The most effective accusers
are those closest to you.
That's why Satan is always looking for the close people.
To
see if he can penetrate and take one of them and use one of them to speak against you and accuse you. One pastor, he left our church. And then he said, he told somebody, "I've worked at the highest level of the church." You get it? I've worked at the highest level. Then he gave a proverb. He said, when a crocodile comes from under the water and tells you that there is a snake there, you have to believe it.
Hey.
So what he's saying is that I was close. I was under the water. And I am telling you, they are doing bad things over there. It's not that somebody say, I'm one of them. I'm from under the water. I am a senior pastor in the church. That man is a bad man. Yes. Woe unto you. Read that. Woe to you.
Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And of the sea.
Woe to the church. Woe to your ministry. Woe to your relationship. Woe to your marriage. Woe to your associates.
Why? For the devil is come down.
Unto
you. Woe to you.
The most effective accuser of a man of God is his wife. That is why many ministries, they work until the wife or the divorce, and the wife says something, it's finished. She's the stronger because she's the closest. That's why a wife is a strong target of Satan.
Because
if only he can get her
as one of his employees.
That's the end. You look at the big ministries. You see that they can survive many things to the wife.
Because
the closest
and
the most effective.
Yes.
They can survive many things
till
the wife starts. So all pastors' wives, you must be careful what you say.
You see,
read verse 10 again. Verse 10.
Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God.
Accusations, he says, strength has come. Power has come. Salvation has come. Because the accuser has been cast away. Accusations weaken the whole system. It's better you sack them. Yes. It's better you sack them. It's better you sack them. From the church. My interpreter is drinking water. You see now? It's not easy for him. Accusations weaken you. When that pastor was, my assistant was always accusing me with all his friends. And then God showed me a scripture. Proverbs 22 verse
10.
Cast out corner. Throw away someone who doesn't believe in you. Someone who mocks you. Let him go.
Again,
sack him. Drive him out. Don't counsel him. Show him the door. Go out.
Read it. Proverbs 22 verse 10. Cast out the scorner.
Cast what? Out what?
Cast out the scorner.
The devil?
The scorner.
The devil? Satan? Who should you cast out?
The scorner.
The scorner. It's not only devil we cast. We cast out
scorner.
It's not only devil we cast. We cast out mockers. Today all your mockers are going out of your life in Jesus' name. You should do what with them?
Cast out the scorner. And contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Contention shall go out. Strife and reproach, disgrace of your ministry will go away. When you learn how to cast out. As for me, many times God speaks to me. I am in the ministry from reading my, when I read my Bible. When I read my Bible, I believe God speaks to me. That day, I believe God spoke to me. Yes. Then I had a dream. The dream helped me. Because in the dream, a lady came to sing. Not the lady came to sing. In the dream, I was a boxer. Like Mike Tyson.
Michael Tyson.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
And I was wearing red shorts.
And
my opponent was wearing blue shorts. And I was a boxer. You know, I don't even watch boxing in my normal life. I don't
watch TV.
Boxing is not something that is nice to me. But in that dream, I was a boxer. I don't know how I became a boxer.
Hey!
Uppercut and all kinds of
things. Uppercut is on now. Knockout is on
now. Round two, I was still boxing. Round three, I was still boxing. And suddenly I woke up. I had just come out of the boxing. Now, do you know who was the boxer?
The other boxer
was a lady
who
used to sing before I preached. You saw some ladies sang before I preached? Not this one. There was another singer.
Yes.
God forbid. Yes. So the Lord showed me, said, all these people are fighting you. This one was a good friend of my assistant pastor. They were all part of the clique that were discussing me every day. Questioning my call. So when I read Proverbs 22 verse 10, cast out the scholar. I called for a meeting of all the leaders. They gathered. I said, everybody sit down. There was not even space. I said, sit on the floor. I also sat on the floor. I said, you know, I pointed to my assistant and I said, I feel you have been criticizing me all the time. Even I don't have evidence. But you are criticizing me. Talking about me. I'm like this. I don't do this. From today, I have sacked you from this church. I have sacked you from this church now. Go out. He was shocked. I don't think he was expecting to be sacked. So he said to me, no. What is the problem? If you don't want me to, you know, because before I preach, he speaks. After I preach, we coordinate the service, everything. He said, if you don't want me to do all this, then I can just sit in the church. I said, no, I don't want you to sit in the church at all. I don't want you to be here at all. Go out of the church. Cast out the scholar. So he left. And with him, all those singers and all those people, all of them left. Our church became smaller. It is better to have a few loyal people than a large mass of confused, criticizing, arguing, disloyal people. Hallelujah! Hey. Accusations weaken you. I was weak. I couldn't work for God. I couldn't do much. I was weak. It says what? Strength. Revelation 12 says strength has come because you cast out. So I became stronger. Even though we were fewer, I became stronger.
Now it's come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ.
Power!
I became powerful. Shalata
sakala.
Accusations. They are very dangerous things. You know, one day, One of my pastors, he had a powerful convention. He was preaching powerfully. And the power of God was flowing. After preaching, he called people who needed prayer. Come. The Holy Spirit is moving. Come. So they all came. And he started to minister. He was laying hands. Take it. Very beautiful. Now he went home. In the evening, his wife served him some Ghanaian dishes. She served him. Then when he was finished eating, she asked him, she said, man of God, this evening, when you were praying for the people, I saw that you were praying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When it came to that fair colored beautiful
woman,
your prayers became longer. And you were holding her tightly. You were laying her stronger on her.
Hey.
The pastor said, what? She said, that is what I saw. I cannot say I didn't see. That's what I saw. She was arguing. It became a big argument.
He
brought a video. He said, I want to show you a video of Bishop laying hands on people. You will see that some people, he lays longer. So the second day, the convention continued. He preached powerfully. Then it was time for ministration. If you want me to pray for you, so they all came, including that fair. He started praying for them. Then when he got to the fair
colour,
now he was affected.
Couldn't
lay hands.
Second day, third day.
Yes. You see, because weakness comes and a certain strength is taken away. When they accuse you, whatever you are accused about, you can't function. You can't operate.
Yes.
Whatever you accuse of. One pastor, he told me, he said, my wife has accused me of sleeping with every maid. He said, he told me that the maid was very big, like 3 times him with boys. Everybody.
And
he's always against those things. Now,
Kati,
the last, I'm just going to end, you have to read it yourself.
The
last law of accusation that I want to say that underlying causes of accusation are the causes of madness. People who accuse are in danger of being mad. Luke 6:7. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, that they might find an accusation against him. And they were filled with madness. They were filled with what? Madness. Why?
Watch.
You know, sometimes the madness, why can you not see the full picture?
Somebody said to me, you know, you are, when you speak about pastors' wives, you
know,
and you don't want women to do this, and you, as if you don't like the women, it shows your madness. A woman introduces me to preach. I have more lady pastors than. If you have more lady pastors, come and let's do competition.
I have
hundreds of women as pastors.
And
even at the level of bishops.
Yes.
Highest level. Very prominent. In my life and ministry. It's your madness that makes you see things the opposite of what it is. That's why you see a holy person as an unholy person. That's why you see a builder of a church as somebody who is destroyed. You see him as somebody who is destroyed. That's why you see Jesus, the builder of the house of God, as somebody who is destroyed. You are mad. It can only be madness. Yes. You know, one day I was with a man of God, a great man of God, and at the time I was speaking to him, even he was, okay, let me not give you that context, but I was with him in this country. He was
same,
and he was ministering. In the middle of the night, about 2 a.m., I was talking with him. We were just standing somewhere. And he said to me, can you believe? They pointed to a lady who is about 87 or 88 years old. My wife has called me. I should be careful of that 87-year-old woman. That 87-year-old woman is after you. She wants to sleep with you. He said, she has called me to warn me. That particular great great grandmother madness. You will never be mad in the name of Jesus. So accusation is an important teaching.
And
you need to know how to deal. You must silence the accuser.
Cast
out the scorner. God is going to bless your ministry. Now I have this book. One of you is a devil. This book is called One of You is a Devil. Now, don't be angry with me because of the title of the book. Because this is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, one of you is a devil. How can that be? I'll show you how it can be. How can you be a devil? You can be a devil if you are a temptation.
Because
the devil is a tempter. You can be a devil if you are an accuser.
Because
the devil is an accuser. You can be a devil if you are a deceiver. Once you behave like the devil, you become like the devil. And in the Bible, three people are called this word devil. Three people. Number one, the devil.
Stan yenyini.
Satan is called the devil.
Bambita Stan ye devil.
Number two, Judas.
Yuda.
The word diabolos is the same diabolos.
It gambe to diabolos.
He says, one of you is a diabolos.
Omukum Stan.
And the third,
pastors' wives,
abachala baba sumba,
wives of the deacons,
abachala baba kadde mukanisa,
that you should not be slanderous. The word slanderer is diabolos. Not be
diabolos.
He says, and the wives also should not be diabolos.
The
one who was translating was afraid to use devil. He was afraid.
First Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave. Not slanderous.
Yes. Not diabolos.
Sober. Faithful in all things.
Yes.
I didn't write the Bible.
And these three can be devils. One, the devil.
Two,
assistant. Associates can be devils. Wives of pastors, deacons, bishops can be devils. Big time devils. I didn't write the
Bible.
Ask your neighbor, why are you angry with him? He didn't write the Bible. He's reading the Bible. If you want to be angry with somebody, be angry with the Bible. Leave me out of it.
I have
not written any Bible. Those who forget. Yeah. This is a group of people. I had to write this book. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 6 verse
10.
God is not.
Hebrews chapter 6 verse
10.
For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister.
God is not unrighteous to forget. Yeah. Those who are proud, they develop spiritual amnesia. It's called PIA, pride-induced amnesia. Their pride makes them forget where they came from. I have some people are always asking them, do you not know Bishop Dag? Were you not in his church? Some years ago. You see, you cannot forget, you cannot cancel where you came from. You cannot cancel where you came from. You came from there. That's why I wrote a book for those who are proud. The first sin in the universe was not the sin of Adam and Eve. Eating the fruits.
The
first sin in the universe was pride by Lucifer. He said, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will. I am. One day I was in New York. Buying something for the church. And I met a Jewish man. The Jewish man was selling what I was buying. And as I was talking to him, he stopped me at a point. He said, don't say I am. Don't say I want. Don't say I will. I was shocked. He said, say we. Don't say I. He said, when you say I, I belongs to God. I belongs to God. I was shocked. He was not a Christian. Just a
Christian.
He said, I belong to God. Say we. I became quiet. And I stopped bargaining. Those who are dangerous sons. I have a book for sons who are dangerous. What is a son? You are a son when you are brought into existence. It's not by being old you become a father. But the fact that I brought you forth or I helped to bring you forth. Even a person who partly brings you forth can be a father. Because a mother is only partly bringing you forth.
Hmm?
A father is part of bringing you. The mother is part of bringing you. The nurses and the doctors are part of bringing you into the world. So a number of people sometimes become your fathers. And you must be careful not to forget what they have done for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10 it says, though you have 10,000 different instructors and teachers, you do not have many fathers. Amen. Is that the right verse? Ah, okay. 4:15. Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers.
Beautiful.
For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you.
That's it. I have begotten you. Yeah. I have begotten you. I made you to exist in a certain sense. It's not trying to take the place of God. But it's also a reality that certain people help you to exist. Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, God not unrighteous to forget things. Those who forget are very dangerous. I'm closing now. But I want you to listen. Noah gave birth to 3 boys. And Noah built an ark. It was not Noah's sons who built the ark. Noah built the ark. And he invited his sons to come on board. And they sailed peacefully and escaped the waters. Now, some years later, Noah was having some wine in his tent. And one of his sons, Ham, came and saw that his father was drunk and naked. Now, every time I read that scripture, I remember a boy I knew in Achimota school who got drunk and took off all his clothes. He was drunk. Alcohol can do that. It can make you do things you forget what you did. So it happened to Noah. So now the son of Noah came in and saw his father in that condition. And he said, wow! You see this man? He has been preaching every day, telling us we are wrong, correcting us, shouting at us. You see Pepe. He went and called photographers. They came to take pictures. Put it on Facebook. When Noah got up, how did these pictures get onto Facebook? They called the security guard.
The
security guard told him,
Nibamugambati.
One of your sons came here. The dark one. You know, one of your sons is a little, I don't know his name, but
he's a little dark.
He came with photographers. Then your other boys, they came with a big blanket. And they walked backwards and covered you. That's a good son. A good son doesn't expose his father. Now, when Noah got up, he cursed. That's what we call the curse. Some people call it the curse of Ham. I call it the curse of
Noah.
And he said, a servant of servants, you shall be. I wrote this book, if you are interested. It's called How to Neutralize Curses. If you are interested, you can take this book and read only the chapter on the curse of
Noah.
And read it and see across the whole world. The father of apparently Sudan, Ethiopia, Egypt, I mean the African nations. You can see what has happened to us. There is no explanation for our situation. Unless you believe in blessings and curses. There is no explanation. There is no explanation. See, when I say you be a servant of servants, are servants rich? Are servants building houses? Are servants building cities? What about the servants' servants? you can never find an explanation. If I look at my country, Ghana. You know, our country was originally called the Gold Coast. Maybe Ghana's name should be not even called Gold Coast, but gold plated nation, gold plated. Gold plated. We are covered with gold. The country is covered with gold. Gold is everywhere.
Gold is everywhere.
Up to today. Up to today, gold
sabu
it covers the whole country. Yes, then apart from gold, the black gold oil, maybe we can even challenge Saudi Arabia. One day I went for a crusade.
And
I went into the forest. You walk on oil. Oil comes out of the ground.
Oil
all over. The whole country is covered with oil. You can never understand our condition if you don't believe in blessings and the realities of curses. I am sure Uganda is also a very rich country. I don't know Uganda, but I'm sure there is money everywhere. So you must believe. This book is, to me, senior pastors and senior people who can read and understand, this book is very important for you to see what is a curse. Because you can neutralize, there are also things to do to neutralize. But you see, it came about through those who forget. You see, Ham was now criticizing his father, but what he has forgotten was that if Noah hasn't made an ark to save him, he will not be alive to be criticizing his father. My friends, loyalty and disloyalty is a very important subject. God will bless you. God will bless your ministry. Those who pretend, everything you are doing will be neutralized by these people. And the works of the devil will not be successful in your life. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the blessing of today. Lift your hand and receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of God. Receive the grace of God. God is working in your life. God is working in your ministry. This is the beginning of a new day. A new chapter. A new phase. A new dimension. Set your heart on the vision. Set your heart on the vision. Set your heart on the vision. God will do it. God is doing it. Malashindo malazanda, Malashindo malazanda, Malashindo malazanda, Malashindo malazanda. Mariondo lo magabalase, Malashindo malalemege, Malashuna la mabasanda. Oh, la mariando, la mariando, la mariando, la mariando, la mariando. Oh, Marimande, the Lord, lift up your church. Let the blessing replace every curse. Let a new day be established. Thank you for this great gift. Thank you. Masaka will never be the same. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you are here and you would like to come to Bible school in Ghana, I want to give you a special opportunity. Maybe you are not a pastor yet, but you believe God has called you. You would like to come to Bible school. Lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. And come to the front. Let me just pray with you quickly. I want to pray with you right now. God has called you. You want to come to Bible. I want to invite you and give you a special scholarship to come to the ministry. Both boys and girls. Boys and girls. Everybody. If God has called you, that you would like to be in the ministry, come to the front. And let me pray with you. Quickly, very quickly. You're a young man, young lady. You believe that you can learn, you can study, you can do many things and become a great minister of the Lord. Come to the front and let me pray with you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for all these people whom you are calling.
who are going to serve you. Thank you for the ability to give them an opportunity to be in ministry. I thank you, Father. Let it be possible that many of them will come and serve you and be trained in ministry. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. When we close, Dr. Ogo and Lady Pastor BDR are here, and they are going to help you to take this serious. I want to say to you, listen, if you are a young man, especially to the young men, you see, when God calls you, usually you are a young person.
Because
it is easy to bend a young tree.
But
when the tree is old, it's not easy to change it.
So,
Jesus' disciples were all, John was a teenager. Nobody was older than the 20s. So I want to give you this opportunity. And if you are able to come to Ghana, to the Bible, you can check on the website. It's a very beautiful and established Bible school. And many of the products. You see, our products are pastors. And some have even become bishops. From different countries. All of us. You will not meet less than 40 to 50 different nationalities in the school. So I want to really encourage you to make it a point to do whatever you have to do to just fly Kenya Airways direct to Ghana every day. So after we close, come back to the front. Doctor are going to meet with you.
Amen.
God bless you. Go back to your seat. Now, before I take my seat, I want to do one more thing. Sit down, please. Now we want to take, I want to take a special offering.
Amen.
Hello.
Please,
at the back and everywhere, I'm still conducting the service. Alright. Now, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to
yes,
you.
Gamba. Why you now
I want you to give a special offering
to
support this campaign, but it's a prophetic offering in the sense that this is a ministry and God is also giving you a ministry. Sow into this ministry and receive a harvest of an established ministry. This is an established ministry. Otherwise, we could not come here.
Yes.
If we are not established, we can have. By coming here, we will be in debt for 7 years.
Yes.
So I am giving you an opportunity to sow a seed into an established ministry for God to give you establishment. Give me an envelope. I want to, Father, thank you for your blessing. I want to give you an opportunity to sow a seed of $1,000. I know maybe yesterday they gave you that opportunity, but I feel that I should do that. And I want some people to sow that seed. Because you can imagine that it costs thousands of dollars to be here, but God is leading you to sow a special seed from you or your church. Either from you or your church. As a blessing. I don't know your currency. Whatever is $1,000. I want. How much? 37 million.
No. It's 3.7.
3.6 million.
Millions.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Anybody who travels, a ticket usually costs about $1,000. Once you travel, it means you have been spending $1,000 from time to time. If you are here and you says God wants you to that I come and take my
envelope.
Right, I believe that there are about 10 people here who can do that. Come and take my envelope. Clap and encourage our brother. Want to sow a special seed into this ministry. Wow. God bless you, brother.
Man.
Special seed of $1,000 from you or from your church. Want to say, Healing Jesus campaign, buy petrol. We are going from here to Gulu. 500 kilometers. It's a blessing. Is there anybody else? Tell your neighbor, I was expecting more from you. I'm expecting at least 10 people. What a blessing. Now, you cannot give $1,000, but you can give $500.
Come
and take my envelope. It is a blessing for you. Beautiful. You must do better than in Barara.
In Barara,
people gave beautifully. You can't give $1,000, but you can give $500, which is what? 1.8 million.
Yes.
So let's see. All right. Now, you cannot give $500, but you can give $100 as your contribution for you or your church. Tonight you bring the offer, or today or tonight.
The
last day, tomorrow we are gone. You want to give $100. Come and take my $100 offering. God bless you. Oh, I'm expecting you to do better than that. God bless you, Pastor. $100 offering. $100 offering. What a blessing. What a blessing. Somebody is coming with her baby. Beautiful.
Amen.
Oh, God bless you, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is $100 in 360,000. You can't give 360,000, but you can give 100,000.
See, a lot of money.
100,000. Come for my envelope. Special. Special. You can't give. I can give 100,000. Come for my envelope, please. God bless you. You are going to use the money to buy petrol, and God will give you a car. Petrol also. Amen. 100,000. It's a blessing for you. It's a blessing for you. No, I'm not taking the offering now. I'm giving you envelopes. We will collect envelopes after.
Alright.
Now you didn't take an envelope, but you want to take an envelope and give something. You don't have all these big amounts that are mentioned, but you have something you want to give. Come for my envelope.
Now which may pass.
You don't have all these big amounts we are calling, but you have something.
You want to
give. Give envelopes. They are giving envelopes to you. Take it. By all means, take an envelope. By all means, take an envelope. It's a blessing for you. By all means, take an envelope. And you can bring it this morning or tonight at the last night of the crusade.
We
are going to use it to buy petrol to drive from here all the way to Gulu. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And pay for everything, eating, drinking, sleeping, right here. Take an envelope. God will bless you. God will help you. God will do something. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let us pray. Father, Thank you for everyone who has taken an envelope today and yesterday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now if you have your envelope from either yesterday or today and you are ready with it, bring the envelopes right now to the front. All ushers in the front.
Ushers
in the front, nothing at the back. All ushers line up. Let us help them to line from one end at the extreme end to the extreme end. Ushers. No ushers should be at the back. Please, pastor's conference, offerings are in the front. Okay? So, no, don't give out a basket like that. If you have your envelope,
come.
So if it's not envelope, don't come. But just envelope offerings from yesterday and today.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, take out your offering, amen, for today. Take out your offering for today and bring it to the front as well. Take out anything that you have, maybe it's not in an envelope, but you have something you want to give to help the crusade, to pay all the bills in Masaka, and to buy fuel, and to continue the work of God. That is a blessing for you. Please take your offering out, this morning's offering, and bring it. It may not be in an envelope. If you have an offering, you want to give an offering, maybe it's not in an envelope, but anything you want to give, come and put something in the offering basket right now, please. Everybody must give something. Give something. It does not have to be in an envelope now. We
are
finished off envelope. Now it's real offering.
We
are finished envelope. It's now real offering. What a blessing. As soon as we close, all these books are available at the best, cheapest price ever possible. God bless you. When we close, something very special for you. This box of books, instead of being sold at $600, which is the usual price, $1 per book, there are 60 books, is being sold to you at a discount of $550 discount. So it's being sold for $50 only. Can you believe it? I'm giving you a discount of $550. What percentage is that? 550? 90. Calculate it well. 550 over 600 times 100. Is equal to what? 55 over 60 times 100. 92% discount. So you are only going to pay 8% of the price. These are real books. Real books. Even a book, you can see how many books cost one. A book usually $5, $8.
Book,
I said $600 for this. We are giving you 92% discount because we are not in Europe or America. This is Africa. So,
Africa.
And it's not a business. It's a donation. It's a gift. So everybody, if you need to buy five of these, 10 of these, this is the best time. If you don't have money, you can even order it and pay a deposit and pay later. We also have credit. You can buy for all your leaders. It's a blessing. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this great gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Please put your hands together and welcome Dr. Ogo.
Keep clapping your hands. Let's appreciate the evangelists for such a powerful conference.